without using your thoughts, memory, emotions, associations, perceptions, attention, which you get as a blank, no state state. Without using your thoughts, memory, emotions, associations, perceptions, are you worthy? And without using your thoughts, memory, emotions, associations, perception.
Welcome attention, to Flickr Nation.
Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation.
Welcome to Flickr Nation.
Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation.
Welcome to Flickr Nation.
Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation. Flickr Nation.
Welcome to episode 1 of Flickr Nation. My name is Thomas Hawk, and as the name would suggest, Flickr Nation is a new podcast coming to you about all things Flickr. We'll go into Flickr news, Flickr commentary, new things that are going on Flickr, where they're being mentioned in the blogosphere, and the like. So, welcome to the inaugural podcast. We'll do a regular podcast somewhat frequently, but keeping you up to date with everything that's going on Flickr. To start with, we do have some news, some recent news here. The biggest news from Flickr recently is probably that they're going to begin offering photo services. So people have been wanting to print their photographs from Flickr for quite a while. This new service, what it will do, you'll be able to send your Flickr photos, essentially, to be printed, and then you can pick them up at a Target. A lot of people have been asking for this. Doesn't mean a whole lot for me particularly. I keep copies of everything that I upload to Flickr, and typically I'll just send it to Ritz or Wolf, and it's right by my house, so I'll be able to drive over there and get the photos faster than if I had to drive all the way to a Target. There's not a Target near me. But in any event, it is something that people have been asking for a while. It's my understanding that it's available here in the U.S. now, so if you've been wanting to get some of your Flickr photos printed, give it a try. Another new service that Flickr's out with in connection with Qoop, Q-O-O-P, is a new book printing service. So I haven't seen any of these books yet, but I probably will get one done at some point. I was talking to Aki Ali, another Flickr member, last week. We got together with a few of us down at the Bigfoot Lodge here in San Francisco. And Aki was saying that he's going to get a book and be able to use it to show people his work. And he's got a show up, or just had a show up in a gallery here in San Francisco. And it seems like it would be a nice way to showcase your work, relatively inexpensive printing. I haven't seen it yet, but looks to be a pretty good service. In other Flickr news, just recently here, Flickr has introduced a new Replace This feature. Replace This essentially allows you to take any photo in your Flickr photo stream and replace it with another photo. Now, I can see where this would be helpful if you put a photo up there on Flickr and you get a bunch of comments and faves, and then there's that one little thing about it that still bugs you. There's that one little thing you could have cropped out or whatnot. This would give you an opportunity to essentially make some slight modifications to your photo and then upload it right back up and without losing all of your comments and whatnot. So I think it's a good thing. I haven't used it yet. I haven't really had many photos that I want to change. I did have one a while back, but for the most part, I think it's it will be a nice feature for those that need it. So, that's some of the basic Flickr news that we've had in the past couple of weeks here. Out in the blogosphere, there's been a lot of talk about Flickr. There typically is from time to time, and One of the big controversies these past couple of weeks revolves around Flickr and their photographers, and should the photographers, especially the interesting photographers on Flickr, somehow be compensated for their work. And this was all kind of started when Anil Dash, a blogger, Anil Dash of Six Apart, basically wrote a blog post about whether or not Flickr photographers should be paid, or should they participate when your photos are on ad pages and whatnot? Should you participate? And there's also was an article on this that was picked up in the Tech Beat over at Business Week Online on October 27th, titled "Should Flickr and Lots of Other Web 2.0 Sites Pay You?" So Anil Dash had made a case that you know, when you're getting a service, even though Flickr is providing hosting for your photos and bandwidth and whatnot, that you ought to somehow participate in getting paid as part of that, where they're making money on ads. Katarina Fake of Flickr responded back in her blog and basically said that, you know, people are getting attention. That's what they want. Here, I'll read you exactly what she said on her blog. It says here, "What is more pleasant than the benevolent notice other people take of us? What is more agreeable than their compassionate empathy? What inspires us more than addressing ears flushed with excitement? What captivates us more than exercising our own power of fascination? What is more thrilling than an entire hall of expectant eyes? What more overwhelming than applause surging up to us? What, lastly, equals the enchantment sparked off by the delighted attention we receive from those who profoundly delight ourselves? Attention by other people is the most irresistible of drugs. To receive it outshines receiving any kind of income. This is why glory surpasses power and why wealth is overshadowed by prominence." So, Katarina Fake is, you know, basically saying that people come to Flickr and they get attention, and that's really what it's all about. It's about a community, and it's not necessarily about people trying to make money off of participating in Flickr, and I'd have to agree with her. I'm not certainly on Flickr to make money. I'm on Flickr because I like to share my photographs with friends and people that I know and strangers, and you know, personally, I think I get a pretty good deal. You know, they take all the bandwidth and pay for all the costs for my bandwidth. They give me a super interactive site that I can use. Not only that, but I get to look at all these other artists' photos. So, you know, at present, I've got quite a few photos marked as interesting. It's kind of a hobby of mine to peruse Flickr and look for interesting photos. And I get to enjoy all of those photos. As a pro account, I get to enjoy them all without any ads, and I think that's a pretty good trade-off. You get to see my work, and I get to see your work. So, but that is, you know, user-generated content is going to continue to be an area to explore with Web 2.0 companies, and should they get paid, should users get paid, should users share in the wealth, I think is still yet to be 100% resolved. In terms of other elements, I do think that Flickr is potentially working on ways that photographers can be paid. I know I have a lot of my images on Google, and Google Images, I had a company contact me that wanted to use one of my photographs for a Choice Hotels commercial, and I sold it to them for $500, a license to be in a national television commercial for one of my photos. And they never would have found it without Google Images. Now, that's not Flickr, but I can imagine that as the Flickr images expand and more people see them, and I would expect you'd see Flickr integrated into Yahoo at some point, Yahoo Images, a lot of the Flickr images, well, then maybe that sort of notoriety will also help Flickr users sell photographs commercially. So, and I think there are a lot of areas also that Flickr may explore to find ways for photographers on Flickr to make some money from their work. But in any event, I think the bigger issue is to be a part of the community, and for me, that's worth it. And despite what Anil Dash might say, elsewhere out there, there was an interesting article called "The Flickrization of Yahoo." in Business 2.0. And if you get a chance, you ought to try to read that. Basically, in that article, it talked about how Flickr and the approach that they're taking to search, which, you know, if you search an interestingness right now, if you search for a tag in Flickr and then rate it by interestingness, you get some pretty good photos. And that's primarily because there's a lot of individual people and they're inputting their tags and their faves and their comments. And the, you know, best pictures are rising to the top. And I think that that's a kind of a superior way of image search. And so there's an article in Business 2.0, and it just talks about, you know, how the social community aspects of Flickr might be applied to other search at Yahoo. And, you know, are there ways, you know, right now Google is I think most people think, a superior search engine. Their algorithm is stronger. But one of the things about the Flickr community that you see is that because of their tags and their participation, Flickr's algorithm for interestingness is pretty good. I think it's better than both Google Images or Yahoo Images. And if they could translate that sort of social community to a larger scale at Yahoo and in other areas for Yahoo, I think it could be good. In the article, here's a quote in the article. It says, "Yahoo also does algorithmic search, but it can't beat Google at that game. So it's gambling that tapping into the collective intelligence of its audience will produce more relevant search results. It's not who has the bigger index," Horowitz says, taking a swipe at his rival. "We hear a lot about efforts to index all the artifacts of human knowledge, but the actual bulk of human knowledge lives in people's heads." So, you know, basically social search and integrating that into the algorithm for search in general would seem that they may be able to come up with more relevant search. I certainly know if you do a search right now for, say, San Francisco on Google Images and on Yahoo Images, the results aren't near as good as what you come up with if you do it on Flickr. So I would suspect that you would see more of Flickr's photos also in the Yahoo image search at some point. But, you know, as Yahoo and looks to the development of social groups, I think that can enhance their search results. So we're essentially human filters, and smart algorithms will use human filters. So anyways, speaking of interestingness, some of you followed when Flickr announced their first round of interestingness. And basically, it's a secret sauce formula. You know, most would suspect that it uses a combination of comments, faves, notes, views, things like that, probably with faves having the most weight. And basically, by using that, they're able to find the most interesting photos on Yahoo, on Flickr, should I say. And with interestingness, when it first came out, it had some inherent flaws. There were a few people, you might say, who hacked it. Fubuki put a photo up, a really bad camera photo, up of a big, about a package of toilet paper. And he posted it to the Delete Me group, and immediately people started putting comments on it and tagging it, and it shot all the way to the most interesting photo of Flickr for that day. Of course, it was removed. And a couple other things you saw with the first round of interestingness was, one was, and this was a pretty easy flaw, but Flickr's interestingness worked on a clock day. So it would, you know, add up all the faves and comments and whatever their secret sauce formula was, and at the end of the day would pick the most interesting. But if you had posted a photo early in the morning, let's say 12:01 a.m., it had a longer time period to get faves and comments and votes. And not only that, it appeared earlier in the day in the interesting stream, which just was a self-fulfilling prophecy and got more views and more faves and more comments. So, you know, that now they've made an adjustment for that. And also another adjustment I think they've made, and again, this is just my speculation, but I think that they've taken some of their better-ranked photographers and they've essentially penalized them in interestingness. So in other words, if your average photo gets five faves anyways, you're going to have to get a lot more faves than five in order to be interesting. Whereas a new photographer who maybe has never had five faves gets five faves, they're going to be considered interesting. So I think what that does is that has the effect of bringing a lot more photographers into interestingness, which is good. More people get their work seen. It's a wider audience than just one or two top photographers. But in any event, so interestingness has changed. I still think, though, that it's a terrific algorithm. I probably don't explore as much as I used to interestingness, but that's just because I've been too busy doing other things. So, but the future, I think, in search, particularly image search, are these smart algorithms like interestingness. A couple other things to note. There are a few other Flickr podcasts. Part of my deciding to do Flickr Nation was I was inspired by the Flickr Cast, which is, I suppose, the first Flickr podcast out there. That's at http flickrcast.blogspot.com. Another Flickr podcast comes from the Delete Me Uncensored group. Elaneska has a Flickr Delete Me Uncensored podcast out at www.zoomscope.com/DMU. So, speaking of Delete Me and Delete Me Uncensored, both were mentioned in the new Flickr cast. For those of you unfamiliar with these two groups at Flickr, Delete Me is a group where you put your photo up and people can review it, essentially, and they either vote save or delete. And when a photo gets 10 saves or 10 deletes, it's either saved in a safe or thrown out. The Delete Me Uncensored group was a group of individuals that shot off of the original Delete Me, myself included, primarily because the administrators of the original Delete Me group were not a lot of fun to be around. They kept threatening to ban everybody and kick everybody out and censor what you had to say. And so a number of us who chatted in the threads as well as posted photographs decided that we would rather play the same game of Delete Me, but without the pesky admin, so to speak. So in any event, Delete Me Uncensored does have a podcast, and there are some great characters there. Again, that address is www.zoomscope.com. Let's see, elsewhere out there, there was a good article in the New York Times. Katerina Fake was quoted in the New York Times, an article entitled Journey to the Center of Yahoo. One, I'll just quote a little bit from it. Setting up a social network to provide advice can take time. But Katerina Fake, one of the founders of Flickr and now a Yahoo executive, pointed out that virtually everyone under 30 had already created such networks. What about those not young or hip enough to have done so yet? Eventually, according to Ms. Fake, more users would create networks as the process became easier and more worthwhile. Vast scale presents its challenges. You can think about the way people will interact as you sit in the usability lab, but until you put it in front of very large numbers of real people, you don't really know, Ms. Fake said. So you have to release products early and often, like perpetual beta. So, of course, Flickr is a beta product. It's what you might call a perpetual beta product. It's people use it. But I think the idea here is that Flickr, as part of Yahoo, is very, very good at creating social networks. And whether it's groups like Delete Me Uncensored or other groups on Flickr or friends on Flickr or different people that you meet on Flickr, it's really good at creating community. And the Flickr product, I think, is built around that. So that's that. So New York Times, Journey to the Center of Yahoo. You need a password to get into the New York Times. If you don't have one, you can always go to Bug Me Not and get one. They provide free registration passwords there for the New York Times. Elsewhere, Stephanie's Cheese Sandwich blog. Stephanie asks, wouldn't it be nice to know where your Flickr viewers are coming from? I happen to agree with this. I had Stuart Butterfield, when he was in San Francisco, recently at the Apple Store. We had an opportunity to ask him some questions, and I asked that question. I asked, wouldn't it be nice if we had some kind of a site meter for our Flickr streams? A lot of times I know I'll have a photo, and all of a sudden it'll be getting a lot of traffic, and I'm not sure why. And in the past, I've found that some of my photos might be blogged elsewhere outside of Flickr, and you don't know about it. Now, one way to kind of keep track of that is to use Technorati. For those of you that aren't familiar with Technorati, you can go to their site, and at Technorati, enter in your essentially your Flickr stream URL. And as your Flickr stream URL and your Flickr photos are blogged outside of Flickr, it'll pick a lot of those up. And you'll be able to make a watch list and put it in your RSS reader or go back to it whenever you want. And you'll be able to see if, in fact, your photos are being blogged through Flickr elsewhere on the internet. Now, it won't show you if your images show up somewhere. If, let's say, someone copies your image and puts it up and it's not linked to Flickr, but it will show you Flickr where it comes from. I do think, though, we do need something like this. A lot of times I know that people find my photos through other people's favorites or through other places even within Flickr. And it'd be nice to kind of see where people were finding your photos through Flickr. Is it through a tag search, or is it through somebody else's comment, or is it through somebody else's favorite, or is it outside of Flickr? So maybe that's something they can work on in the future. When I asked Stuart about it in San Francisco, he seemed concerned that there would be an opportunity to spam people in those results. So I'm not sure why, but that's the case. Okay, so adding to the controversy of Flickr, Nick Starr of the Flickrlicious fame wrote a blog post here recently regarding Flickr, and he had a run-in with Flickr in that his images or his pulling images from Flickr had been blocked. And Nick Starr wrote a post called Flickr Doesn't Believe in Web 2.0, and basically he was pretty upset. He had built up Flickrlicious, it was getting a ton of traffic. He was essentially going through Flickr and finding pictures of women. He had sort of three flavors of the site, one which was safe for work, one which was questionably safe for work, and one which was definitely unsafe for work. So in any event, he had felt that he was subscribing to Flickr's terms of service, and that Flickr had pulled his ability to link to those photos at Flickrlicious, and he was upset about that. Stuart, on the other hand, came back, Stuart Butterfield, and responded to him, and basically said that for commercial services, that's not what Flickr's about. And that you know, Nick had a commercial service, and so as such, Flickrlicious was a business, and it's not a personal use thing. He was also concerned because Flickrlicious does serve up quite a bit of photographs, quite a bit of bandwidth, and which is good for Flickrlicious because they save on bandwidth and hosting costs, but bad for Flickr that has to tackle all of that extra bandwidth. In his objection to Nick Starr's site, Stuart did add, "To be perfectly honest, we definitely don't like the TNA or triple X angles, and we don't want it associated with the Flickr brand." But that's definitely not the issue. The same thing would happen to an ad-based site serving Flickr photos about horses or sailboats or boogers. So once Nick Starr got Stuart's objection about the ads, he came back with, "I'll take all the ads off," and removed all of the ads from Flickrlicious, stressed his view that his site was a personal site, it didn't have ads. And finally, Stuart allowed him to relink to photos at Flickr. So Stuart left a note in Nick Starr's blog that said, "Glad it worked out and sorry how it happened. One last thing, it'd be nice if you could remove everyone's email address from the first thread." So, Flickrlicious, and there were also two other sites, Chicks and Breasts and Flickr Babes. Those were also taken down, and those were sites that Nick had referenced when he felt that he was being singled out at Flickrlicious by Flickr for not allowing his site to link to them. So Chicks and Breasts and Flickr Babes, both also, after Nick's site stopped being able to link, also had their site stop being able to be linked. But after Nick removed his ads, and I think Chicks and Breasts also removed their ads, Flickr turned on the linking again, and they were back in service for now. So, a lot of drama in one day, but Nick Starr's Flickrlicious was down, then it was back up, and it looks like, at least in the short run, it will be up. But it does bring up an important point, and that is, as Stuart mentioned, Flickr doesn't necessarily want to be associated their brand with TNA and XXX sites. I could see how that would be the case. Yahoo recently, last year, shut down all their chat rooms over some pretty racy titles. You know, anybody can put anything they want up on Flickr right now. And if people put pornography up there, there's certainly going to be people that object to that. One of the things that Flickr does do right now to deal with the pornography issue is users can mark photos may offend. And also Flickr staff can review images at Flickr and they can mark them private. Now, this in itself can be a little controversial, though. Mr. Chalk, who's a somewhat notorious Flickr user, who just recently says that he is done with Flickr, actually. He's done with his blog and done with Flickr. He says he's going to go outside and smell the flowers and take some time off the internet. But in any event, Mr. Chalk had posted a photo, and according to Mr. Chalk, this was a rather tasteful art photo. He said that it came straight out of... He actually lifted it, which he probably shouldn't be doing that. It's copyrighted material. But he lifted an, quote, offensive photo straight out of Terry Richardson's Terry World. And that's supposedly a photographic art book. And so he received an email from Anna on the Flickr staff saying that she had made his photo private and that he needed to leave it private. And so... Subsequently, I did a post actually called Flickr and the Pornography Problem at thomashawk.com and blogged about this, the way that Flickr was handling these questionable images. And I reprinted Anna's email to Mr. Chalk. But Stuart responded on that post and sort of admitted that the way they're doing it now isn't the best way and said that a better way is coming. What Stuart said was, "I don't think Anna's determining the aesthetic philosophical question, what's art and what's porn, but merely what should show up on the public areas of Flickr." So then he said, "But to the larger point, the way we're handling it now is no good and will only continue until we're able to implement the better solution, which is coming." So I would assume that by better solution that's coming, that would be some type of a registration type of a system that proves you're over 18. I know Yahoo right now, you can designate that you're an adult profile, and if you're an adult, then maybe you have access to those images, and if you're not an adult, then maybe you won't. So the final piece of news that we have today, for those of you that are interested, Blogebrity, which is a blog that follows the celebrity bloggers, did an interview with Heather Champ. They called it the Uninterview of Heather Champ. Heather Champ, for those of you that don't know her, is the community manager, or a community manager, I guess, there at Flickr, and also has done quite a bit in the photo blogging world, and along with her husband, Derek, puts out JPEG Magazine, which is a terrific magazine, and you should check it out if you get a chance. But they do an interview with Heather. If you're interested in that, you can see that over at Blogebrity. And again, that's at www.blogebrity.com. So that about wraps up our show. If you have suggestions or comments on the show, feel free to send me an email at tom@thomashawk.com. Alternatively, I hope to have a Flickr Nation website up shortly. I just registered the Flickr Nation domain name. The music that you heard to start up the show as part of the intro was actually a mashup of sorts. Part of it was from Eloy Brunel. The track was entitled Bernard. And the second part of the music came from the Sunshine Family with a track called Back in the Sunshine Again. And that's the track we're also going to close the show with. And that music, by the way, came from a website called staccatomusic.org, which is a great website where you can find Creative Commons licensed music. So, anyways, hope you enjoyed the first Flickr Nation podcast, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.